let your spirit lead me never.
Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the dust. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high,
and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you. We glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world,
receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord, you only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, our Most High, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all that trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that you, being our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we finally lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from the 7th chapter of Micah. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. He has redeemed my soul in peace.
The epistle reading is from the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
Then all the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance? Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, and God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text from Luke 15, verse 6. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's parable of the shepherd of 100 sheep who seeks after one lost and straying is a picture which we need to engrave in our conscience. By our thoughts and words and deeds, we daily stray from the flock. We've left behind our good shepherd and the flock of Christ's church, only to find that we are lost. Now, when times are peaceful, it is easy to think of Christ, our shepherd, who loves us so much that he is willing to search high and low for us. He does not want us to be separated from his church. He does not want us to live in fear of the wolf and worried for the future. When life is going well and the sun is shining brightly, we don't even consider the possibility that the storm clouds will come. Our feelings and emotions are happy. Our thoughts are pleasant. We look forward to eternal life. Of course, Jesus is the Savior, our good shepherd, and I am his sheep. But then the skies begin to threaten. My happy-go-lucky life encounters difficulty and distress. The warning sirens make you wonder, am I truly ready for the storm? Your past sinful actions, well, they're glaringly obvious now. Yes, the present situation, realize I haven't done nearly enough. You are weak, and you're not ready for the battle. When you look around, you realize, well, that the other sheep are no longer to be found. And where are you? You are lost. But that's not the worst. Here's where things actually get worse. Because your own thoughts and your perceptions tell you that the situation is hopeless. Yes. The crisis makes you doubt whether God is really watching over you. And you tell yourself that you must change yourself and you must make things right, and only then can you return to the flock. But your heart is a liar. You see, God desires you back right now. He's willing to forgive, but you have come to see things differently. You tell yourself that God would not take you back right now. First, you must set things right. When you see the good shepherd coming for you, yes, you hide, because you tell yourself he really wants to punish you. You're sure he is hunting down the lost and the erring to give it its due. So you view God, the church, even the Word of God, with anxiety and fright. You have constructed a whole new picture of Christ and his intentions for you, his lost sheep. What you have envisioned is not the correct one. Now, the devil, no doubt, has had a part in getting you to doubt and to falter in your Christian faith. He would rather not have you think about the shepherd seeking that one sheep. But I tell you, you must remember it. Satan has twisted the meaning so that he can somehow try to use it. Think about it. Similarly, Adam and Eve. Satan told Eve that God was keeping something back from her. Something good. He said, "Oh, that forbidden fruit, it would not bring death. It will open your eyes. You will become like God, knowing good and evil." The word of God hadn't changed. God's will toward Adam and Eve hadn't changed. But the devil had so clouded her vision that she trusted in a faulty construction which now dwelt in her own feeble heart. Maybe you've heard it too. I can't count how many unbelievers that I have invited to church, and then they tell me that, Pastor, if I came back to church, that the roof would cave in. I know they don't mean it literally, but why do they say it? It shows how they have been overcome by fear. It's overtaken them. God and His Word, even unbelievers, all, it's all too scary. They fear that their sin will be exposed. There's also a fear of being without my sin. You see, those who have lived with sin for quite some time have become quite comfortable with it. Though they complain about the guilt and the anxiety of it, they just can't imagine living a life without it. The drunk doesn't like the consequences, but he actually fears living life sober. We need this parable. This parable of the shepherd of 100 sheep who seeks after one lost and straying. It is a picture which we need to engrave in our conscience. Oh, it's easy to remember it correctly when times are peaceful. But when the disaster hits and we find that we are lost, not so easy. Though they didn't understand the forgiving love of God, the Pharisees got it right when they said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So, furthermore, Jesus goes on to tell this parable of the shepherd seeking the lost sheep, in order to undergird and underline that truth which they had offered. Yes, Jesus does receive sinners and eats with them. And if the shepherd's concern is so great that he would seek even after one sheep that was lost, our God is not any less concerned for little old you. He is willing to go to great lengths that you might be returned to the flock safe and sound. So first, always remember that God loves you so much that He is seeking you, His sheep. The presence of a disaster or a crisis is not a reason to doubt His love. The unexpected loss of a family member or friend is not a reason to think that God has pushed you away. If you come to realize you have sinned, even greatly, this does not mean that God no longer desires your company. God loves each and every sheep. He loves you. He is willing to seek and save even one sheep. He cares for you. Second, God is seeking you in order to save you. He is sending out His love so you realize your sin. He is sending out His announcement of the forgiveness of sins so that your sin might be wiped away. God is seeking you not to punish, but to save you. After God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve hid from God. Why? Out of fear. They did not need to fear. He was seeking them in order to save them. Even God's question to Adam, "Where are you?" was intended to open Adam's eyes to his sin. Until Adam saw his sin, Adam would not receive the shepherds seeking him to save him. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. Not every bad thing that happens is a result of our sin. We know that. Not every bad thing that happens is a result of sin. But sometimes it is the just consequence of our sin. Yes, we live in a fallen world and things happen, but there are times when we experience the consequence of our sins. What I mean is this: something bad happens to us and we do realize it was the result of our own sin. Make mammon your idol and your marriage and family will suffer. Lie and deceive and you will lose your job or have to pay the fine. Despise preaching and the word, and you will not be able to withstand temptation. Live selfishly, and you will find that you have few friends. Sometimes our sin actually causes that bad thing that happens. If you do realize that you are being punished for your sin, do not despair. Our Savior is seeking you to forgive you. Like the prodigal son, there are times when God uses the consequences in order to bring us to our senses. Like dumb sheep, God knows that sometimes it takes harsh action to get our attention. It is better to enter life with one eye than to go to hell with two eyes. God loves you so much that He will go to great lengths in order to bring you from the lost to found. Third, engrave that parable in your mind. It says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When you realize you are lost, it is time to trust in your good shepherd. You don't need to right the wrong or fix what you have ruined. The Lord has come with forgiveness. All of the past is forgiven. Your shepherd will give you strength to return. He will carry you on his shoulders. You don't need to find your way back. He is the one who is the way and the truth and the life. Fourth, the one who found you is rejoicing. He absolutely delights to forgive you your sins and restore you to his flock, the church. Your shepherd rejoices in giving you the new birth of holy baptism. He will provide you with forgiveness and strength to face whatever the days ahead bring. Fifth, the only thing which the Lord asks of you, his restored sheep, is this. Rejoice with me. He is rejoicing in saving you. And now he wants us, his sheep, to rejoice in his saving us. Yes, it sounds too good to be true, but it is not. He does not need anything from us. He does not need anything that we have, for he has given us everything. He desires that we live in thankfulness, in praise of him who has already accomplished our salvation. You see, God's mind is made up. He desires all men to be saved. He desires that each and every lost sheep be found by the shepherd and returned. He desires to save you. And the Lord has gone out and has published his message of salvation. He has called pastors, apostles, and prophets to preach this message of good news. That news is Jesus Christ has suffered and died to take away your sins. This parable of the lost sheep being found by the shepherd is the message that you need. It is a message that you must apply to yourself. You will find that you are lost and you need to be hearing his voice. He is seeking you. And yes, you must rejoice in his salvation. This man, Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. It will not be difficult to remember God's desire to find you when times are peaceful. You may say to yourself that this picture of God, it's only too easy. Yes, fine, Pastor, I know it only too well. But do not become so prideful that you cease to rejoice in his salvation. Today's epistle says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You see, our loving God is not done telling this story, and we should not be done so that we close our ears to hearing it. The good news that we need, it comes to us in many ways and in many stories. This good news, recently it has come to us in John 3, with Jesus desiring to save Nicodemus by telling him he must be born again of water and the Word. It has come to us in Luke 16 by the Lord's desire to save Lazarus, who was a poor and crippled and begging food of the unbelieving man. Lazarus, he was loved by God. He was taken to Abraham's bosom. It's come to us in Luke 14 by God's invitation to the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. No matter who you are and what you have done, God desires to forgive you your sins and bring you to his heavenly banquet. Why is God so repetitious? Why does he tell us these story after story after story? He knows that you will need to remember it. When things become difficult and hard, you will need to remember it when you feel fear and anxiety. You will need to remember it when your sins cry out to the sky and the devil is twisting your ear. You will need to remember it when God humbles you under his mighty hand. Finally, our Lord Jesus Christ has left us a memorial of his love. For those who have been lost but are not found, he has instituted a meal of forgiveness. He gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. This meal cannot be bought or earned. It is a reminder of his great love for us. Our Lord said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We eat and drink so that we teach ourselves to receive his forgiveness. We do it to teach ourselves that our Savior, who has found his lost sheep, desires to have us at his heavenly banquet. St. Paul, yes, he tells us this, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So how do I proclaim the Lord's death till he comes? How do I proclaim his death, which saves us? We do it by rejoicing. We eat the Lord's body and blood with rejoicing. And when he has found the sheep, he lays it on his shoulder rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Having brought us home to his church, he desires to eat this meal with us, that we may rejoice together. Engrave this picture on your conscience. The shepherd seeks after me, his lost and straying sheep. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. The canticle is Create in Me, page 143. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have spared no cost in sending us your Son to seek and save us lost sinners and bringing us back into your fellowship. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Open our lips that we might receive with the whole heavenly host a praise of our God, whose merciful work of mission has created faith, given strength to countless sinners. We ask that all pastors in Christ, including our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would humbly preach that central message, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We ask your blessing upon Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Tucson, as well as their pastor Daniel Mensing. We ask your blessing upon our opening of our Early Childhood Learning Center, as well as for a virus-free operation of the same. We pray for our director, for our teachers, our assistants and support staff, for both the preschool as well as the school-aged children enrolled in the summer academy, that all would grow up unto the knowledge of you. Let us pray to the Lord. We pray for our President Donald, our Governor J.B., state legislators, our Mayor Steve, for city officials, for all our judges. We ask that you would cause all needful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations, to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and we ask that you would crown them with your blessing. We give thanksgiving to you, thanking you for the blessings and grace that you have showered upon the United States of America and for ourselves, that we may never take these gifts for granted. Graciously defend us from the destructive power of war and weather, illness and accidents. Watch over the men and women of our armed forces, especially Timothy, Danny, Jason, Blake, and Jack, as well as our police officers, Daniel and Alex. Keep them from harm and danger. O Lord, you are the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak. Look upon the tribulation and distress of those still affected by the coronavirus. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Provide care for those infected. Calm the worries of the timid, so that in their necessities they may observe and receive your manifold help and comfort. For those who are discouraged because of a lack of employment, in your mercy raise up opportunities for business and work, that in peace and thanksgiving all people may earn and eat the bread of contentment. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-in Rachel, our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Priscilla, Caitlin, Jade, Kevin, Gibb, Linda, Rick, Patty, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, and Mike. Let us pray to the Lord. Amen. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
But the partaking of your body, O Lord Jesus Christ, which I am the Lord.
I say unto you, there is joy in heaven.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.